When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast. It's FliesOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, and of course, the operating engineers, Local 139. Joining us now, Associate Editor of the Capital Times and writer for The Nation, John H. Nichols. John, good morning.
That H stands for Harrison.
It does, as in Benjamin Harrison.
You are correct.
Okay.
The last great Republican president.
All right. Here is the former Republican president going into court this morning. We're recording this on Monday morning. Here we go. Well, we're going to have to. Let's try this one. Here we go.
Are you going to lose voters against the victim?
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar says this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case. And they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
He's honored to be there.
Honored to be in.
He's somebody, like a modern-day Job.
somebody taught him to say it's an assault on political thought. Political speech. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're gonna. It's hard to get a lines into him, but they're gonna keep pushing that, and it is going to be, it's going to actually work a little bit. I'll tell you, it's just going to have a couple, going to get people opening some discussion stuff. And then he is going to start to attack the judge. And I'm going to tell you, this is all going to play out. But it's not going to be immediate. It's going to take, I'm thinking, several hours before it all starts to go apart.
He's speaking a little bit like our bud Dwyer.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, No. I don't want you to think I'm going there. I mean, Arbud Dwyer, the Pennsylvania treasurer who killed himself. But before Arbud Dwyer killed himself, he took no responsibility, blamed it on prosecutors, and talked about it being the biggest assault in American legal history on a politician. This is what people do when they're guilty.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, I know you went to Arbud, and I'm going to say, with all due respect, that there's probably, like, I don't know, 1,000 politicians that fit this category. And
yes, but I am uniquely qualified to talk about Bud Dwyer because I've done so much research.
You have, but I will tell you, this is what I'll say to you. Here's what's unique about Trump and where we have to, you know, we have to look for interesting examples. And it's one to really sort through and think about a little bit. Is this unique dynamic of he's on trial at a point when he is seeking to establish himself in a contentious political race. And when I say seeking to establish himself, look, I know everybody knows everything about Trump, right? You know, there's very little that you can tell people that they don't know about the guy. But what I'm saying is he now is clearly the Republican nominee. Biden clearly the Democratic nominee. There are independent candidates running. And so Trump is at a point now where he's got to find his mark for this race, right? And the court case becomes an oddly useful at some times, but also destabilizing reality for him. And so I think, you know, when we're looking at this, you know, we're looking at something that is extremely rare in history. Because it is very rare that somebody is, you know, at this critical juncture in their political trajectory, and having this kind of challenge. And it, one of the weirdest parts about it is that it's this particular case, right? It's not of all the 91 indictments, right? This is the one that's coming to a head. And it is, I know everybody likes to pick on Bragg, the prosecutor in New York. My sense is that this case, even though some people say, well, it's hard to prove, blah, 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 and stuff like that, I think this is a messy case for Trump. And it's one that goes to some of his own vulnerabilities and his own inabilities. And so I think it's going to be, well, next couple of weeks is going to be very interesting.
I don't think he isn't going to look very good when people learn. And most people just have not heard about the whole catch and kill thing with the owner of the National Enquirer. I tell you what, what's that guy's name? Pecker, believe it or not.
And I think also something that's going to surprise people is how many folks are turning on Trump in this trial. You know what I mean?
Well, Hope Hicks.
And that's what I'm saying. You're suddenly going to be in a situation where Bragg knows this is a hard trial. And Bragg knows that he's in the spotlight here. So my sense is, and reading as much as I can and talking to people as much as I can, my sense is they put a tremendous amount of energy into dotting I's, crossing T's, and finding people that are going to go on that stand under this incredible scrutiny and say things that are going to be very damaging to Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
So
we might actually learn some things about Donald Trump.
There are some people that have resisted supporting Donald Trump that are now falling into line. And one of the great frauds in American politics is Governor Chris Sununu from New Hampshire, who made the mistake of going on television yesterday morning, and it did not go well for him.
Mentioned this is only one of several indictments the former president is facing, perhaps the most consequential one, of course, related to January 6th. Right after that January 6th attack, I'm going to put this up on the screen. You said, it is clear that President Trump's rhetoric and actions contributed to the insurrection. The domestic terrorists who attacked the United States Capitol must be held accountable and prosecuted. Do you stand by that statement?
100%. Of course, they have to be prosecuted, and they are being prosecuted. That's good. I think his actions absolutely contributed to that. There's no question about that. I hate the election denialism of 2020. Nobody wants to be talking about that in 2024. I think all of that was absolutely terrible. But what people are going to be voting for, the reason I'm supporting not just the president, but a Republican administration. That's what this is. They want a culture change in Washington. All the rules and policies that pound down on the American people. The wokeness, right? The fact that folks in Washington, liberal elites in Washington, want to stand on the shoulders of hardworking American families that built this country, defended this country, and tell them how to live their lives. They're angry. They're upset. That's the culture change that people want to see. People are upset by January 6th. They're upset by the election denial. They have every right to be. I am. But at the end of the day, they need a culture change to get America back on track.
So, but wait a second right there. Your words were very, very clear on January 11th, 2021. You said that President Trump's rhetoric and actions contributed to the insurrection. No other president in American history has contributed to an insurrection. So please explain, given the fact that you believe he contributed to an insurrection, how you can say we should have him back in the Oval Office.
It's not, because for me, it's not about him as much as it is having a Republican administration, Republican secretaries, Republican rules, a sense where states' rights comes first, individual rights comes first, parents' rights comes first. We're going to have a pro-business economy. We're not going to have a cancel culture that has really infiltrated all across America. It's not about Trump with me. It's about bringing those more.
But he will be the president.
Right? I'm the governor of the Live Free or Die State, bringing that mentality back.
That doesn't make any sense to me, Governor. I'm sorry. You're saying it's not about Trump. You're saying he would be the president. And you've said he's someone who's contributed to an insurrection.
I understand it doesn't make sense to you, George, but look at the polls. What you're telling me is you don't understand why 51% of this country is supporting Donald Trump. They're not crazy. They're not MAGA conservatives. They're not extremists. They want culture change. So,
Governor,
I'm not talking.
I'm not talking about polls. I'm asking you a very simple question. You believe Donald Trump contributed to an insurrection. That's correct, right?
I stand by the statement.
Wouldn't that something?
Well, actually, you got to give George Stephanopoulos some credit there, because he, you know, it's hard when you're in a situation like that with somebody who's a pretty regular guest to kind of keep pressing it, right? To come back and say, nope, this does not make sense. And what's significant there is, of course, Sununu really, it isn't just what's being stated there in that interview, right? It's also the fact that Sununu put himself on the line in New Hampshire to stop Trump. And in fact, was right there with Nikki Haley when Nikki Haley was saying, if we nominate Trump, we're going to lose. And nodding along, driving her down those country roads in New Hampshire. And I think for him, it's a particularly hard scramble back. It isn't just what he said in 2021. It's what he said in 2024. And, you know, he looks like a ridiculous hypocrite, to be quite honest.
And to say that somehow that Joe Biden, President Biden, is some woke cancel culture figure.
Yeah, I know.
It's just so stupid. A practicing Catholic who finishes every speech with God bless our troops. You really don't get any more traditional than Joe Biden.
He's a very comforting and calming figure. And I think this has always been the problem that Republicans have had, you know, and why his greatest strength of all, in addition to his experience, might well be that he just doesn't look the caricature, right? And the weird thing is that some folks, so many of our Republican friends, try to have it both ways. They're saying, you know, he's incompetent. He can't even manage walking down the street. Well, he destroyed that with his State of the Union address, which was highly energetic. And frankly, most of his appearances since then have had this been an energy to him that I think kind of puts that to rest. So now they've got to go back to their previous thing, which is somehow he's this calculating, dangerous, you know, like Trojan horse for the far left. And that also doesn't work. And you know what? One of the reasons it doesn't work is because currently there's an awful lot of people on the left who are upset with him, right? He has taken positions, some domestic, some international, which have caused people to say, you know, look, I got a problem with that. I don't agree with you. Doesn't mean they're probably not going to back him, but there's a discomfort. People see that. So you end up in a situation where, you know, they're trying to spin a line on Biden that doesn't work. And it's especially ineffectual when it comes from somebody like Sununu. Because, you know, Sununu didn't just break with Trump. Sununu, to a greater extent than any elected official on the Republican side, I'll repeat that, to a greater extent than any elected official on the Republican side, sought to prevent Donald Trump from being the nominee of the Republican Party this year. Sununu was first in line doing that because of his role as governor of New Hampshire and because he chose to endorse Trump's strongest rival.
Well, I have heard a number of people, including Michael Moore, talk about how we cannot let the narrative this year be that this is just another normal election.
Right.
And when I... maybe I wasn't supposed to do this, but when I told the mayor of Milwaukee that he made a big mistake bringing the Republicans to Milwaukee, I said, you're normalizing something that, you know, I think there's a real downside to making it look like this is just another year. He politely listened and then probably, you know, whatever. But
like, bye guy, but I'm not going to take counsel from him.
And you know what? I'm not afraid to tell people that I really like and admire that I disagree with them. But I don't you think that I don't think it's good that the Republicans are coming to Milwaukee.
Oh, you know, look, I think that cities seek conventions, and they seek them as a, you know, it's literally an economic development thing. It's like seeking a factory, right? And that's why they do it. I think Milwaukee got on autopilot on that because they got the Democratic convention in 2020, and then that fell apart because of COVID. And you know, they're just kind of that autopilot's running. They're going for it, and so they go for the Republicans. I think that's the best way to understand this. Has it been thought through? No, not particularly. And with all due respect to your argument, I will say this. I think it's going to be worse for the Republicans to come to Milwaukee than it is for Milwaukee to have the Republicans there.
Well, now that's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know something that I don't?
No, I don't. That's not going to be marches and protests and stuff like that. What I'm saying is something much deeper about electoral politics. They're coming to a city that really doesn't like them. You know what I mean? This isn't like George H.W. Bush going to Houston, right? And this is much more like, remember when the Republicans in 2004 did their convention in New York, right? You know, and George W. Bush, they did the convention in New York. And it never quite felt right. I don't think it gave them any benefit. And then even more classically, in 2008, when the Republicans went up to Minneapolis and St. Paul, right? And, you know, here you are in a metroplex that really isn't going to ever back you, right? And I was at that.
Well, there aren't many Republican metropolitan areas left. For instance, Oklahoma City is changing fast. That used to be a Republican metropolitan area. Not anymore.
All over the country. Now, I agree with you. But you see, some places you can make it work a little more because at least in the metroplex, there's something there.
Yeah, and I'd say Salt Lake City, but the Mormons don't like them either.
No, they do not. And Omaha doesn't work. I mean, it's a pretty long list. But it's just this thing about Milwaukee, which is a complex thing as regards to choice, because Republicans have, certainly throughout Scott Walker's governorship, made beating up on Milwaukee a big part of their politics, right? And suddenly you're going to have people, you know, welcoming the Republican National Convention to Milwaukee who have made careers of attacking Milwaukee and of undermining Milwaukee.
Yes, Reince.
Yeah.
Priebus.
Robin Voss,
all of them. You bet.
Do you think they're going to let Voss be at the convention?
Yeah, probably not. We'll take a break. John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation with us at slysoffice.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com.
All right, we're back at slysoffice.com. So, Eric Hovde. Mm. You know Eric Hovde?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Here is Eric Hovde on the Guy Benson Show. He's a national talk radio person for the Fox Radio Network. Pat Kreitlow and Max Richmond from the Committee to Save Social Security, and Pat Kreitlow does some Up North radio thing. Here's the conversation.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.
Max Richmond from the National Committee to Protect Medicare and Social Security.
This is a man who is totally out of touch, certainly when it comes to Wisconsin seniors. It's absolutely weird to suggest that nursing home residents are on the verge of death and therefore they shouldn't be voting. It's an absurd statement. It's a stupid statement. If anything, we should improve access to voting in nursing homes. This is the same candidate who, in the past, when he was asked about Social Security, the future of Social Security, he said, quote, we should absolutely, absolutely cut Social Security and raise the retirement age. This, the contrast between this candidate, Hubdi, and your Senator Baldwin couldn't be more distinct.
And by the way, Max Richmond is a very credible person. I've interviewed him a number of times. Social Security, a pretty popular program. But can you imagine telling people that have fought for this country or, you know, been good citizens their whole life that they shouldn't be voting?
I can't
comprehend it.
Someone there's flying. You know, I have to tell you, I was talking to my mom yesterday, who is 93, and has she lives in a, she's got her own room and place, but she lives in an assisted care place, I guess you call it, you know what I mean, which I guess is sort of into that category of, you know, because in my view, nursing home is pretty broadly defined now, right? Am I fair? Is that right? So the fact is, and I, you know, maybe I'm just naive and something like this, but, you know, I got a feeling my mom's probably going to make it to Election Day. And most of her neighbors are. And most of her friends and acquaintances are. And when you're telling these people they shouldn't vote because they've only got 5 months to live, I don't think you just offend them. I think you also offend their family, right? I mean, I want my mom to live a long time, and I think she's got the strength to do it. And I have a feeling there's an awful lot of folks, when they hear somebody running for the U.S. Senate going around saying, yeah, you know, if your mom or dad's in an assisted living center or care center or something like that, or even maybe if they've got a little more need, you know, you don't need that many pages on the calendar to look at the rest of their life.
Well, I want you to, for a moment, to imagine the former governor of Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson, hearing that. Now, Tommy Thompson has no love for Eric Hovde. I want you to imagine Tommy Thompson hearing someone say that.
Well, I think Tommy Thompson, there's two things that would happen with Tommy Thompson. One, he wouldn't believe it. Right. Like he would disagree. Right. He knows the reality. Tommy himself, who is a very, very healthy man in his mid 80s, would look at that and say, I don't like the feel of this.
Well,
I feel right. This conception. But I think there's something else that you know as well as I about Tommy Thompson. You know what his reaction would be? Political malpractice.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. You think of that. You say, number one, Tommy Thompson, this is the genius of Tommy Thompson as when he was governor of Wisconsin, like him or dislike him, agree with him or disagree with him. He wanted the Republican Party to be the biggest Republican Party you ever saw, have space for everybody. And I can tell you this, Tommy Thompson didn't write people out of the party, and he certainly didn't write people out of the electorate. Literally say, well, you're not going to be around anyway, so you shouldn't be voting. I mean, and so I think he would look at that as sort of a unique form of political malpractice. I also think, by the way, if somebody else is thinking of getting in this race in that Republican primary, you know, and there have been some talk about other folks, I would imagine the last couple weeks have been a great encouragement to that thought.
Well, it hasn't gotten much conversation, but the Rolling Stone magazine unearthing a piece that Hovde actually put pen to paper saying that he's against the sale of alcohol.
Yeah. I know. Do you know who had kind of the best story?
What's that?
The best story on this was I'm going to the Daily Cardinal, where they went and they found all the things Hubdy said about young people.
So he doesn't like young people. He doesn't like old people.
Right. Like it's unique. And he's basically, his statements about young people were absolutely as dismissive and like weird as his statements about older folks. And you're listening to this and you're thinking, like, who's he left with? You know, 60-something millionaires who have houses in California?
Well, I'm pretty sure Tim Michaels is for him. I think I think Tim is going to fly from his home in Connecticut back to Wisconsin to vote for Eric Covey.
You know,
because they are twin brothers from another mother.
Except for one thing, you know, I actually think living in Connecticut somehow it passes the smell test better than living in California. But this is the interesting thing. There's Evers's great line during the 2022 campaign with Michaels, where Evers said, we've paved so many roads, we put new pavement on so many roads in Wisconsin that you could go from Wisconsin to Tim Michaels' house in Connecticut and back, right? One suspects that you know, all of these things, you know, the background challenges, the statements, stuff like this, this becomes part of a set of tools, if you will, that Tammy Baldwin's campaign now has, right? It's almost like they're being given all this equipment with which to run a reelection campaign. And it's just, how do you turn it back on Hovde? What turns up in an ad? And I can tell you this, the stuff about the nursing home, something tells me that that's got a good chance of turning up in an ad.
You think?
With Baldwin sitting with a senior, you know? And you can almost see the ad's almost making itself, right? It's cutting itself. And in politics, when you're introducing yourself as a candidate, you just don't do that. You know?
Well, you don't. You don't do it out of, you know, that if those words had ever come out of my mouth at the dinner table, just as somebody talking about politics, and I said old people shouldn't be able to vote. My parents, I mean, I was raised to respect old people and that they had wisdom, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. That's some people have a lifetime of wisdom. Now, some don't, obviously. So Eric Hovde thought he really would get Tammy Baldwin with this stunt.
First one. All right, this is the first one. It's got about a half inch layer of ice on the lake. It was hard to break through, but it's good to get out of here for a good cold plunge. So the Dems and Senator Baldwin keep saying I'm not from Wisconsin, which is a complete joke. All right, Senator Baldwin, why don't you get out here in this frozen lake and let's really see who's from Wisconsin. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care.
I don't think most people in Wisconsin are dumb enough to jump into a frozen lake. That's kind of my first thought. Second of all, she never accused him of not being from Wisconsin. She accused him of not living in Wisconsin.
Well, but there's one other subtlety, too. If you are a Wisconsinite who jumps in a cold lake because you're doing a polar plunge, because you live up north, you got a sauna, and you have a whole, you know, there's whole culture, there's all sorts of things you do, right? Two things you don't do. Even if you jump in, you don't sit there. Right? You jump in, jump out, right? You know, there's a whole theory of this, right? You're smart enough to know that. So you don't sit there. Number two, you don't call it a cold plunge, right? Which I believe is a term used by, you know, like in, I guess, in California in some new age thing or whatever that, you know, blah, blah, blah. You would call it jumping in a lake. And so I actually think with that, he revealed more of how he was out of touch than anything that his opponent said against him.
Right? I'm feeling a little Dr. Mehmet Oz thing coming.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of, my sense is that the Oz thing is, remember, what hurt Oz, fascinatingly enough, wasn't just the fact that he was from New Jersey, right? And they really hit him hard on that back in the campaign that Fetterman ran against him in Pennsylvania. But they also, do you remember the thing where he went to the store and he was trying to make a statement about inflation, and he said, "Yeah, I'm here getting some vegetables and some things like that because my wife and I are going to make a crudité."
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't remember?
I'll be honest with you. I had to look that word up when I heard him say it. I didn't know what it was.
but everyone in Pennsylvania. And you know, it's a vegetable plate, you know. And in fact, that was all that Fetterman had to say in that situation. It's a vegetable plate, right? Just the notion that you use the term crudité. And again, I'll say something, it's not as bad. I'll give Hubby this. But, you know, when you're talking about cold plunge, when it's jumping in the lake, right? When you move in the circles of elites, when you move in the circles of a lot of money, you learn a lot of terms and a lot of phrases that sound very good at the cocktail party in Laguna Beach or, you know, out in the Hamptons, but that aren't really politics talk, right? Aren't really sort of normal politics talk in a place where you're running. And you know that Tommy Thompson, who we just talked about, Tommy Thompson is a very successful man now. He's done very, very well in his post-political life.
As he said, he's made a few shekels.
And there you have it. But you never heard him, you know, you don't hear him speaking in a way that separates himself.
No, God, no.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I just, it seems like the Republicans are running the same race they did in 2022.
Well, I mean,
the same kind of candidate.
With a yeah.
He's not talking about Trump the way Michaels did, but
you know, that's somewhat of a progression. Although he appeared with Trump the other day.
He did.
Right? You know, which that I mean, it doesn't matter how you talk about him. Just being the picture's worth a thousand words. But the thing about him that distinguishes him from Michaels is this. He is somebody who I've been around him a little bit. I don't know him well, but my sense is he's actually a deeper thinker than Michaels. He's actually spent more time thinking about politics and thinking about, you know, where he stands on issues and things like this. And that's, you take that for what it's worth one way or the other. But I think it has made him think that he can run his own campaign. And that's a very dangerous thing in politics when you think you can run your own campaign. Because I can't believe there was a consultant or an advisor, a friend, who said, yeah, go sit in the lake.
Well, unless he's got a really bad consultant. Now, that is possible.
Fireable offense, I think. like, yeah, you know what? That sitting in the lake thing didn't turn out so well. Did you see the thing where he's throwing axes?
Oh, is Sean Duffy helping him? That's kind of a lumberjack thing.
Yeah. But this wasn't. And this is the thing. Again, I'm going to sum it up. If you go on Twitter or Google or whatever, you can find Hubby throwing an axe. But he's not doing it out in a, you know, in a farmstead in Richland County or up north, and you know, on a, you know, a cool fall afternoon or something like that, where you hit a side of a tree. He's doing it in some bar where, you know, people come to throw axes, right? You know, it's like, it's got like flashing lights. And so if you hit the axe mark on the target, you get a, and you sort of like, doesn't really say lumberjack. It says like corporate guy going on what some corporate consultant tells you is an outing where you can build team spirit. And it doesn't translate very well.
I remember when they told John Kerry he had to look like a hunter. That did not go well.
I was on that trip, by the way. And the ironic thing, I recall someone mentioned, just observed this, that Kerry had, like, the outfit they put him in was so good. You know, it was like certain kind of boots, these really expensive pants, you know, great hunting jacket. Everything he had was just top of the line. You know, it wouldn't even, this isn't like Abercrombie and Fitch or something. Like, I don't even know who sells it, who sells outdoor gear, you know. It was way above that. It's like a place you go in New York to find the best outdoor gear, okay? And so he's got this really, really nice outdoor gear. And somebody said quietly, you know, I think his clothes cost more than my house.
You know, if they had asked me, you know, how to dress him, I would have taken him over to Dorn's Outdoor Center there at the Brookwood Plaza down below the hardware store. And they could have set him up with a nice orange hoodie and, you know, some camouflage pants maybe, you know? And you could have done it for under $100.
What about Fleet Farm? You know what
Fleet
I mean?
Farm, it's, another one. Yeah.
Or just a crazy notion. Wear the hunting clothes you got. And if you don't got hunting clothes that you've used a lot, maybe don't pretend to be a hunter.
Amen to that.
Yeah, you know.
There's that. Well, it's I just don't feel, and I guess I should be because it's Wisconsin. I just don't feel nervous about this Senate race.
Well, you know, I mean, twists and turns can occur. The fact is, Biden's coming up in the polls right now. He's not like opening up a huge lead, but he's coming up in the polls, and if he does well, you know, if he does decently, I can't imagine. Can you imagine somebody comes to the polls and goes, you know, I'm voting for Biden for president because I think it's really important to save democracy and do a lot of good stuff, but I really like that Eric Hovde guy. You know, I don't see that combination of votes occurring. And so as long as Biden's running solidly, I don't see any chance this race gets to be a particularly tough one. Even if Biden were to slip some, I think Baldwin will run ahead of Biden. I just my sense is she probably will. And so, yeah, I don't see it as that tough a race. And by the way, I want to correct something I said. You know, we were talking about where you get clothes, and this shows me how little I know about such things. I meant to say L.L. Bean.
Oh.
When I was talking about Eric's clothes.
Oh, no. You picked that. The what did you mention, Farm and Fleet or Fleet Farm?
Well, before, no, Fleet Farm was better, but previously I said Abercrombie.
Oh!
You know, I was trying to think, but this, again, my emphasis on it is, I know enough to know I don't know. You know?
Oh, that's priceless. John Nichols, that's a perfect way to end our podcast today. I don't know what I don't know, and amen. John Nichols from the Capital Times, thanks for coming on with us.
Great pleasure to be with you, brother.
Slysoffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.